Hello and welcome to International Report. In today's edition, we go to the West African country of Côte d'Ivoire, where farmers are learning the value of protecting local forests. Frank Hersey has this report from Abidjan.
In Abidjan, Côte d'Ivoire's coastal metropolis, an audience enjoys a little theatre. On the dangers of destroying the country's natural heritage. Usually performed out in the countryside, the drama focuses on saving national parks and forêt classée, the supposedly government-protected forests. These pockets are almost all that are left of Côte d'Ivoire's once vast rainforests. In the past 50 years, the country's lost over 80% of its forest cover.
Thanks to new policies, in the next 30 years, we're going to do two things. First, there'll be no more declassifying of forests or parks. That will stay at around 8%. We will also reclassify areas as parks and protected forest, and there'll be large-scale reforestation.
Adama Tondosama, Director General of the Ivorian Office for Parks and Resources, speaking after the performance. The government is lining up large-scale projects, tackling deforestation with its neighbour Ghana, and using satellites to monitor any clearances. There are many pressures on the forests, but agriculture has been the most destructive.
We want to preserve even the relics of the forest we have. And in Côte d'Ivoire, it's going to be possible to end deforestation because people are aware that when there's no more forest, productivity falls. There's a drop in coffee, rubber, cocoa.
Of all the crops, cocoa has taken the heaviest toll. Forest soil, once cleared for a plantation, rapidly loses fertility, and farmers have to chop down more trees. Côte d'Ivoire is the world's largest cocoa producer, and global demand for chocolate is increasing. Organizations are already working to reduce the impact of cocoa plantations.
The plantation is in rows, so if you have a row of cocoa trees, a row of banana trees, there's a cocoa tree every 2.5
meters. We're in a pilot project run by Fairtrade Africa. It's made up of 20 plots, each one half a hectare in size, the same as four Olympic swimming pools. But as agronomist Adama Kabore shows us around, there don't seem to be that many cocoa trees.
Here, we've got the orange trees. There's no cocoa right now, so this way the farmer can still take oranges to market to tide him over. Oranges and avocados.
This is organic agroforestry, a careful mixture of fruit trees and ground-level vegetables.
Why do we have a lot of banana trees at the moment? It's because in 3 years' time, they'll have gone and will be replaced by fruit and forest trees. And the banana trees also stop the sun hitting the ground.
Eri Jean Bonzu works on one of the plots. He's hopeful that the system will take hold more widely, as the scheme also boosts cocoa yields.
The cocoa here is the Mercedes species. It's more profitable than other types of cocoa. Half a hectare yields 1,000 kilograms. The other type gives you half of that, just 500 kilograms. It's less productive.
Growing cocoa is a pretty raw deal for the farmers, most of whom live well below the poverty line. Ngwandi Afui explains how the agroforestry system and the fair trade premium make a difference.
Even though my older sons are grown up, I've still got my younger ones to look after. I don't get much from cocoa, so I make up for that with bananas, cassavas, and tomatoes. And even when the premium does come in at the end of the year, it goes fast. It's just not easy.
Mm-hmm. city, the drama troupe's messages about protecting the forests seem to be sinking in. The government's 30-year aims for reforestation, including going from 8% forest cover now to 20% by 2030, seem a long way off. But the hopes of farmers, such as Ewi Jean Bonzu, for better yields from less land, may carry a little more weight.
This time, with this system, we can get there.